You know, I don't remember the name of the show. I just remember it was either called Millionaire or something. I can't remember the exact name of the show. Do you remember growing up, and this is a lot of years ago, you remember growing up there was a show where they sent somebody out with $1 million to give somebody that, you know, it'd be some slob doing something, and he didn't know that he was about to inherit $1 million. And the show was a weekly show where it wasn't true, right? It was just a story, right? It wasn't true. I can't remember whether it was true or not. You know, no, it wasn't true. So it was a story. And so the storyline was, you know, this guy that was sent to give $1 million from the rich man, it was a story of how the people wouldn't receive it, wouldn't believe it, what they needed, what they didn't need, on and on. It's kind of stuff like that. What was the name of the show? Anybody remember? It was called Millionaire. And so it was Millionaire. So he would go. And so this guy, you know, would never know that he was the inheritor. He had such a huge inheritance that, and so he just, many of them would just go on living. And on some of the shows, the people would not receive it. And even though it had been given them, bequeathed them, the check had been signed by the rich man, there were shows where it ended up where the person would not receive the money. And having had such an inheritance and go on living a basic life because they were not did not know their inheritance and they wouldn't receive it. And those that found out about it wouldn't receive it. So what we're going to do this morning, we're going to talk about it. Ephesians chapter 1 says far above. Everybody say far above. Say it one more time. Far above. Just put that up there. That's the name that we're going to talk about today. Far above. Everybody say far above one more time. We're going to talk about far above. And as I said, it literally had to do with, and I want to talk to you about what we inherited in terms of the resurrection. What we gained the day Jesus rose from the dead, it was not just that Jesus rose from the dead. There were things that happened in his life that affects our life. And they were given to us by God. And they were given to us as our inheritance. And we're going to talk about that today. And Ephesians 1, let's read it because this is your inheritance. And I want you to think about that show I talked about. And think about that I am the guy coming to you individually with this incredible thing that this rich man has sent to you. And you have a choice this morning whether to receive it or not receive it. I want you to listen to this, and then we'll come back over it a little bit later. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. Listen, if you're visiting today, and this is, you know, you don't go to church very much, this is not just for the goody good to, this is for everybody. This is for you as well as for me. I wasn't any different than you. I mean, I'm not different. I'm not some special person that God gave all this to because I was special. He gives this to everybody. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So this is for you. And don't believe the lie. This is, don't be the slob that's sitting there when the millionaire guy came and said, you're a millionaire now. No, no, I don't deserve it. I'm not worthy of it. It doesn't matter. It was a gift. And this is a gift. All right, watch this. Even as he chose us, chose you in him before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and blameless before him in love. He predestined us for adoption as sons through Christ Jesus according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace with which he blessed us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him we have obtained a what? Now listen, you have obtained an inheritance. I want you to think of your two best friends right now. Think of your two best friends you got in all the world. Just think about them. Now, multiply that by a billion, and you still have not got how good God is to you. Think of your two best friends in all the world. Multiply it by a billion, and you're not near how good God is to you. We in him we've obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. Bow your heads and let's pray this morning. Father, I thank you that you are far above this morning. You have been raised from the dead, Jesus, and you have been lifted high and you have been placed on the throne of the universe. And you sit far above all power, rule, and authority. Today, Lord, we look to you. We thank you on this resurrection day. Let the power of it and the truth of it invade our lives and our circumstances that we can live in truth and not a lie of this world. We give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Everybody said a good day. Amen. Amen. Be seated this morning if you would. Paul just listed our inheritance and he just listed what we had inherited from the Lord. And that is a great inheritance. And many of us read over that so fast, and it's a little bit, you know, we can't grasp it, that we lose the fact and we don't understand the truth. God doesn't want us to go to heaven before we taste of heaven. The Bible says in verse 14, it said that the Holy Spirit was a down payment. That's what the word means, a guarantee. Who is the guarantee? Everybody say guarantee. Guarantee, it's a guarantee, means a down payment. That's what the word means in the Greek. We have received a down payment of heaven. You know, whenever you sell something, sometimes you'll get a down payment. Or when you buy something, you have to put a down payment. And it's not all of it, but it is some of it. Is that right? How much down payment do you want? Well, you know, you sell something for 10 grand. Well, I'll take $500 down payment. Well, that $500 is not all of the 10,000, but it's some of it. How many know you can go to McDonald's on $500? You can still go to McDonald's $500. So it's still something. And the Bible says we have received not all of heaven yet, but some of it. Which means God wants us to experience heaven not only in the sweet by and by, but in the nasty now and then. Come on, somebody. He wants you to taste of it before you have it. He wants you to experience it here and now before you have it all one day. There is a down payment. We have received a down payment of our inheritance. We don't have it all yet, but we've got a down payment. He wants you to experience that. If you're on your way to heaven, God doesn't want you to have to get there to feel what it's like. He wants you to have a little bit of it right now. So he gives us a portion of it. We're to experience a portion of heaven. I've flown quite a bit in my life, and I've become a gold member with American Airlines. Now they're bankrupt, but you know, but I've become a gold member of American Airlines. And when you become a gold member, they send you this little packet in the mail. You put these gold member tags on your luggage. Your bags fly free. Come on, when you're a gold member. That's one thing I learned about. But other than that, they gave me this packet, you know, and this little pamphlet to read. Did I read the pamphlet? So what I did was I just operated on everything I thought, you know, I just operated on how I thought it ought to operate. So I'd go and I'd stand in line. One day I'm standing in line some country, I don't remember where it was, whether it was in the States or it may have been the States or California, but it was a long line in the average line. And I'm standing there and they, you know, we're sitting there and they got these little rack stands along the way. And I remember they had this little rack stand and I picked it up and I started reading it and it was on the benefit programs of American Airlines. And so I turned to the gold member section. I read the gold member section. It says, if you are a gold member, you can stand in the first class line. You do not have to go through the average everyday, your kind of line. You go through the first class line. And I'm looking there, I'm sitting there, and this line is long, and I look over at the first class line, and there ain't nobody in the first class line. I learned something. I've been standing in the wrong line a lot of years, not knowing the benefits that I had I didn't know my relationship with American Airlines. I didn't know that my relationship afforded me the ability to get out of the average Joe line and get in the first class line. I was leading a basic, some of you are the same way in Christian. You're in the basic line and you don't know you can get over in the first class line. Same thing is true. I remember I went down and bought me a three-quarter ton truck, a diesel with an Allison transmission in it. And I remember the sales guy, he was going over all the buttons and all this. How many know you don't listen to most of the things they're telling you about? All I want to know is, where's the key go? Start it. How to turn the radio on and the air conditioning and where the gas pedal. Come on. And I turned. So I got in this thing. I started up. All I want to do was, all I want to know is how to get from A to B and get the car there and da-da-da-da. Well, one night a couple years ago, in the mid of winter, one of the coldest nights in the mid of winter, I'm out on Blackwater Road, and I've got a 35-foot gooseneck with me. I got it loaded down with equipment, and I go off in the middle of a field after rain, and that thing sunk to the axles. So it's got a high, low, it's got a four-wheel drive, and it's got a high four-wheel drive and low four-wheel drive. Well, I put that thing in there, and it wouldn't do it, so I knew the next thing to do is call Kenny. Come on, somebody, I'll call Kenny. He said, "Where are you?" I said, "I am somewhere out on Blackwater Road. There ain't no lights. I'm out in the middle of a field, and I am sunk to the axles," I said. "And it's cold, and all I got is one little jacket. I've been out there trying to get this thing out." So he comes, and we have to take it all off, and we have to take this front end loader and pick the whole truck up and try to get other. So we got it in there, but then afterwards, we couldn't get the thing out of four-wheel drive. It would not come out of four-wheel drive. We tried everything. And you know, you're not supposed to be going 60 miles an hour down the road in low four-wheel drive. I'm going down the road 60 miles. So finally, I pull over in a church parking lot. I said, "Well, they won't do anything. I'm a pastor, so it's late at night." And I finally get the – when I bought the truck, they gave me a manual. Did I read the manual? Did you read your manual? So I get the manual out, and I look at it, and it says to, when you're in high four-wheel drive, you can just turn it. But when you're in low four-wheel drive, you got to come to a stop, put it in park, and then you come out. I said, "I read the manual." Come on, somebody. I know my rights now, and I know my privileges. That's what happened to some of you. Some of you are living a basic Christian life. All you know to do is you got saved, you love the Lord, and you get up on Sundays, you go to church, and if you're real, you know, you go on Wednesdays or da-da, you do all this kind of stuff, and you're just living a basic Christian life, and you don't know all the rights and privileges you have in Christ Jesus. Come on, somebody. You've been standing in the wrong line so long you think you're in the right line. But you can really get out of that line and get in the short line. Come on. So there are rights and privileges the Lord has given us in it. And on and on. Now, many Christians, I said, is in the same point. He wants us to investigate the surpassing power of the cross and the resurrection, because it was the cross and the resurrection that really brought us somewhere. We are not just to live basic Christian lives. We are to live surpassing, powerful, that have received a portion of heaven. See, we keep waiting that heaven's going to be so tremendous and so different, and it will be. But our life here can take on that characteristics, because we've received a down payment of what we're going to experience over there. But the reason we don't is because we've never read the manual. We've never investigated the rights and our relationship with the Lord. And it's real and it's true. And so Ephesians chapter 1, look at this verse 15. Listen to what it says. "For this reason, because I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ," notice what he asks. He says, I'm praying something for you. I'm praying that you get in the manual. I'm praying that you read the gold members pamphlet that tells you what your relationship affords you. I'm praying that the Father of glory may give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your heart enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you. What are the riches," come on somebody, "what are the riches of his inheritance?" Because we're living like paupers. We're living in the long line. We're living in the everyday like everybody else line. And Paul says, I'm praying that God would open your eyes up to the glory of his resurrection, to the glory of his power, that you received a down payment of it, that there you can live, have a taste and live a portion of what you're going to be living in heaven. He says, what that you may know the hope to which he's called you, and what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of the power. Notice this. What is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe? Now watch this. And he's going to give you an example. He said, now let me give you an example of his power. And here's what he says. What is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe? According to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right. Watch this. He says the same power that invaded that tomb that day, and when Jesus was absolutely dead, I want you to experience that same power. It's your inheritance. It's the riches of your inheritance now. And you don't have to live in the short, you don't have to live in the long line. You don't have to live not knowing how to get it out of low four back in. You can know, you got to read and investigate. Paul says, I'm praying for you. That meant, listen, these Ephesians were living basic lives. They knew how to turn it, put the key in. They knew how to turn the air conditioning on. They knew how to turn the radio on. They knew how to press the gas. They knew how to put it back in park and turn it off. And some of you are living that same kind of Christianity, is you're just living it just like you think you know it all. And Paul says, I'm praying that your eyes would be open, that you'd see your inheritance and what your relationship with Jesus affords you, that you have a down payment, that you don't have to wait to heaven to live heaven. You've got part of it already right now in your life, and you can experience and taste it. And so he says, I'm praying for you that the same power that great power that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead, seated him at his right hand in heavenly places, far, everybody say far above. Everybody say far above one more time. See, you're not supposed to be under. You're supposed to be far above. Which he seated him far above all rule, authority, power, dominion, above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. You notice there he's talking about two time zones. He's talking about what's happening not only now, but yonder, but now. God wants us to invade our lives. You know, when he came into that tomb that day, he flipped everything around. What was going downhill suddenly turned and started going uphill. What had been a defeat turned into the greatest victory ever seen on the face of the earth. And some of us, we amen the power, we agree with the power, but we never can testify of the power because we've never investigated what he gave us, and we're not living it, experiencing it. So God wants to come in our lives today. He wants us to do it. It's our inheritance, his superimposing power. But we end up living basic lives. We end up just living in the long line like everybody else, doing the best we can. You know, I'm just, how are you doing? I'm doing the best I can. You're never supposed to be doing the best you can. You've been given supernatural power. Had Jesus been doing just the best he can, he'd still be in the tomb. But the power of God came in his life, flipped everything around. What was going downhill started going back uphill to where he ended up far above all rule and authority and power. So God wants to bring that into our lives, but he wants us to know the surpassing power of his greatness. And what did Jesus accomplish? Look at verse 20 again. Watch this. That he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead, seated him at the right hand in heavenly places, far above all authority, power, dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. I'm going to tell you something this morning. Listen, he's talking about two time zones here. He's talking about not only the sweet by and by, but the nasty now and now. So he's watching. Watch this. In verse 20 says, he seated him far above all authority, power, and dominion. Okay, I've read that too fast. Let me say it real slow now. Jesus is seated far, everybody say far above one more time. All authority, dominion, and power and rule. He is seated far above all dominion, power, rule, and authority. In other words, no matter how high anybody in your world is, they're not the final authority. Get that? Because there is somebody sitting far, not just above, far above all rule, dominion, power, and authority. There is somebody sitting in your life. You know somebody that is above whoever the somebody is in your life, ruling your life. Whoever is ruling you, whatever is ruling you, you've got to always know in your brain, investigate your inheritance. You know somebody that's sitting far above whoever it is sitting in your life. Whatever rule it is, whatever authority it is, whatever power it is, because however big they are, however mighty they are, somebody, there is somebody that is bigger and more powerful and higher than that person is. Jesus stood before Pilate one day, and Pilate says, "You don't answer me? Don't you know I have the power to crucify you or to release you?" And Jesus looked at him and says, "You have no power at all except it was given you from above." Come on, somebody. Because there's somebody higher than you. You don't be arrogant about it. You just be confident about it. And so that changes my perspective because it comes. See, that tells me this, that whatever they say is a thought. It's not the final thought. Whatever verdict they give is a verdict. It's not the final verdict. Because I know somebody that's sitting far above all principalities and powers. Come on. It might be a sentence. It might be a sentence, but it's not the final sentence. Because I know somebody that's sitting far above that has veto power. Come on, somebody. They can do and say, because you know somebody who can overrule somebody who looks like they're ruling your life. That's when you get in confidence. That's when you study your inheritance in Christ. Because if God says yes, until God says yes, it's not yes. Until God says, you know somebody who has a final authority. If God is for you, who can be against you? Hey, come and get the pulpit, would you guys? We're going to do, we got some skits. Let me show you something. There was a lady one day. I'm just going to read Luke 8 instead of showing it. There was a lady one day, and the Pharisees were trying to grab Jesus and catch him in all kinds of stuff and try to trick him. And they bring a lady one day that they caught in adultery. And I want you to listen to this very carefully, because they take the Bible and they are somewhat using the Bible correctly, but in other ways they're using it deceitfully. And they're not only using their own power, because they were Pharisees, they were legal people of the day. And they come and they bring Jesus, they bring to Jesus this woman caught in adultery. And they have the power to do it. They have they're Pharisees. What they're doing is of the law. It's of the, you know, it's according to the Bible, supposedly. And they bring him, and a mass of them are bringing to Jesus. And all Jesus, remember, is a carpenter. He grew up as a son of a carpenter. He became a carpenter. And he's sitting there, and they bring this woman to him, and they have rocks in their hands, and they're ready to stone this woman. But let me tell you something. Even if you're surrounded this morning by people with rocks in their hands, until Jesus says, okay, it ain't going to happen. Watch this skit this morning, would you?
So, Jesus, what are we going to do today?
Come on, John, let's go teach the people another parable.
No, no, please, wait. Please forgive me. Please. No, wait, I don't want to die. No, no, please, wait. No, no.
I hope for you, woman. You know what the law says about adultery. Your mind is not going to help you now. The law of Moses says that you must die for adultery. Look, here comes the one they call Jesus. This woman in the very act of adultery.
Please forgive me. I'm not going to do it again.
Well, I know you won't. We're going to kill you. What do you say about adultery, Jesus? We want to know what you have to say about adultery. But for us, we're ready to stone her now.
No!
Let any of you who is without sin be the first to cast this stone. Woman, look up at me. I don't condemn you. I forgive you. Take my hand.
That's me. That's my story. It's not just about adultery. It's about everything I was caught in. All my sins. my life was riddled with them. There came a point not too long ago where I had lost all hope. There was nothing else that I had left to lose. I always knew there was a God, but to me in my life, he was so distant. Like he was up in heaven, looking down, shaking his head at me or something. He didn't care about what happened in my life. Not anymore. But I knew I needed something. But church wasn't for people like me. Not like this. What would people think? Surely they would judge. God judged me, right? I judged myself. But I came. I was so scared. No, I was terrified. But when I got here, I started to really learn about Jesus. I knew who he was to other people. You know, the good ones. But I learned that he was someone who loved me more than I could ever imagine. I learned that he could forgive me for the sins that I couldn't even dream of forgiving myself for. That I didn't have to fix myself. He would reach down and rescue me from the mud and the muck that I called my life. The best part is, I am no exception. He wants this for everyone, for all of us. No matter how far you think you've gone, he hasn't gone anywhere. He's right here today, waiting for you to ask. Honestly, I'm not perfect now. Do I even know how he does it? I don't have a clue. All I do know is I am standing here today, living proof that Jesus saves. This is real, and this is what he wants for all of us. Just reach back.
Melodies are gone. You are here.
Everybody say amen, would you? Wasn't that fantastic? Give them a great clap offering. Would you do that? Come on. Now, let me tell you another truth. Let me tie in a truth that you can see with this. Because if you noticed in the situation, Jesus was not the largest person there. He wasn't the most. He and his group were outnumbered. There were many in that day when the parable literally took place. There were a lot of them. And you may feel totally outnumbered. There may be such a horde against you. It may be physical. It may be mental. Maybe thoughts on thoughts on thoughts are just tormenting you. But let me tell you something. You need to know the difference between power and authority. Let me say it this way. You need to know the difference between... let me leave that. Power and authority, because that's how the Lord rules in our lives. He comes in authority has to do with the use of power. Football season is over now, and everybody's taking the withdrawal pains and all that. But, you ever watch a football game? And when you watch a football game, here's the funny thing. You've got these zebras out there. You know what the zebras are? That's the referees in these striped, shirts. And you ever looked at them? A lot of them are old. Come on, is that right? A lot of them are old. A lot of them don't run very good. A lot of them are a little bit overweight. Is that right? A lot of them are a little overweight. They don't make a whole lot of money. They make money, but they don't make a whole lot of money. Because on the field, there's guys that are bigger. There's guys that are faster. There's guys that look a lot prettier than they do. There's guys that make a lot more money than they do. But guess what? When those short, slow, plumpy, poor guys blow that whistle, guess what happens? All the more bigger, faster, richer, stronger, everybody comes to a stop. Come on, somebody. That's the difference between power and authority. Is that right? Because they may have the power, they may have all this, but they don't have the authority. They can't grab the ref's whistle at any point, blow it, and it won't end. They just get kicked out of the game. Only the refs have the authority to do that. Same thing is true with your truck. Some of you got nice big vehicles, big engines. They're newer than the police car. They're newer than their bagger. They got a bigger engine. But how many know when those blue lights come on behind you, everything else becomes irrelevant. Doesn't matter how much CC you got, how all that stuff. Everything, because there is a difference between authority and power. It happens. And I love what Matthew 28, listen to what Matthew 28, listen to what Jesus said after the resurrection. And Jesus came to them and said, all what? See, some of you are looking for the wrong stuff. You're wanting more power. What you ought to be asking for is more authority in your life. Because when authority comes into your life, they can be ready to stone you, but one with greater authority steps in and says, put down your rock. Come on, somebody. Let he that is without sin cast. You know what that was? That wasn't power. Jesus didn't arm wrestle rocks out of every one of those guys' arms. He just used his authority, and his authority overruled their power. And what happens in your life is when you, listen, you don't worry about it. If everybody else is telling you how bad you are, your mom and dad told you you wouldn't amount to anything. Your husband, your wife, your ex-wife, your ex-husband told you you're worth anything. It don't matter what they say. It matters what the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords says you are. Because he loves you. He cares for you. But when it comes to authority, it's a different story. Listen, you know somebody that has veto authority. That's one good thing about it. You know somebody that has veto authority. Now, one of the keys in life is the devil uses our mistakes to beat us over the head. The devil uses the mistakes that we've made as the bullets in his gun. That literally just hit at us. Whether you have been a Christian for a long time, whether you've never been a Christian, one thing the devil does, he uses what you've done wrong to show you how God could never love somebody like you, let alone ever use somebody like you, and how God would never protect you. But I'm going to tell you, there was a woman caught in the very act of adultery, the Bible says, and Jesus stepped into that fray, and they thought they had him, and he, by use of his authority, showed that he came not only for the healthy, but he came for those that were sick. And they got on him one time, and they said, why are you eating with publicans? publicans and sinners and prostitutes. He said, because I have come for the sick. I haven't come for the healthy. I'm a doctor who's in need of finding somebody sick. And if you feel sick this morning, there's a doctor in the house that does it. He's not practicing. He already knows what the cure you need. And he stepped in that fray that day, and with his authority, everyone, the Bible says, every one of them dropped their rocks and went away, and no one was left except Jesus and this woman. And he said, woman, where are your accusers? And she said, Lord, there is none. And he said these words, neither do I condemn you. And then he said this, go and sin no more. And you know what? He'll never command you to do something that he doesn't give you the power to do. He filled that woman. That day she was changed forever. But one thing the devil does, he comes in your life and he reminds you of all the stuff you did wrong. And I want you to notice this verse in Colossians. I'll tie it back in later, but listen. And you were dead in your trespasses. That means your sins. And the uncircumcision, that meant you weren't in the family of God. Some of you are just visiting today, and this is you right here. You feel dead in your sins, and you don't feel like part of the family. Listen to this. But God made alive together, and uncircumcised, God made alive together. God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses by canceling the record of debt. Everybody say record of debt. That's a Roman thing. Stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed. Everybody say disarmed. He disarmed our enemies, the rulers and authorities, put them to open shame, triumphing over them in it. Therefore, let no one pass judgment on you in the question of food and drink or regard to a festival, new moon, or Sabbath. These are a shadow of come, but substance of it belongs to Christ. Now, listen to this. He said he forgave you your transgressions, and he canceled the record of debt. And what they used to do was, when you got put in prison during the Roman days, they wrote a record. Here's why you're in prison. You're in prison because you did this and you murdered and you stole and you were a thief and you da da. And they listed the things why you were put in prison. And it was a record of debt, legal record of debt against you. But Paul says in this text on the cross, Christ ripped up the record that was legally against you. The cross, what does the cross have? What does Jesus dying on the cross have to do with me? That's where he took all that record of stuff you did. And he nailed it to the cross. That meant he took it and he ripped it up. But he paid the price that you should have paid. He paid the price I should have paid. Every wrong thing I ever did, he paid for it by his death, because he had never done one thing wrong. And he said, Father, I'll die in Terry Workman's place. And when he hung on that cross with the millions and billions that's ever lived, I was one of them that he took everything I'd ever done wrong and put it on the cross and ripped it up. And I'm completely free of it. I'm done. It's not there anymore. And so what happens is, when I'm thinking, God can't do this for me, Jesus comes and says, oh, yeah. When the enemy comes to me and he starts shooting at me and he says, God can't do that for you because you know what you did. You know what you are. You da-da-da. And what happens in the Holy Spirit, when I investigate the manual, I read it and I says, oh, no. Wait, devil. He took all those wrong things I did and he nailed it to his cross. He took it out of my life. And what the devil does, he doesn't want you to know that his gun is empty. He'll bring his gun to you, and the Bible says he has disarmed them. And the devil says, stick him up. And you go, okay, stick him up. Listen, he's got no bullets in his gun anymore. Come on, somebody. We are free from those things. So he took our debts. He took it and wrote it away. Now, listen, there was a story one time we want to illustrate. Come and get the pulpit guys again. There's one more story we want to tell you. It's a story of a man who bragged and bragged. His name was Peter. And he bragged and he said, Lord, if everybody else leaves you, I will never leave you. And Jesus looked at him and says, you know, the day is coming very soon. Before the cock crows, he said, I'm going to tell you something. You're going to deny that you know me. Three times you'll deny it. And Peter said, Lord, if the rest of these scumbags, if they deny you, I will die with you before I deny you. And the Bible says that he denied him three times. Now listen, he denied him three times. He denied him three times. I want you to read this. And look at this. When the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, brought spices so they might go and anoint him. Very early on the first day of the week, the sun had risen. They went to the tomb. And they were saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb?" And looking up, they saw a very big stone. It was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side dressed in a white robe. And they were alarmed. And he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified." Now, before you go to 7, hold it right here. He was raised from the dead. Now, watch this. I want you to notice the power of the resurrection, because what Jesus did on the cross, right before the cross, Peter denies him. The Bible says he even cursed. He brought a curse unto himself. "I don't even know the man. Let me be cursed if I'm lying." And the Bible says when that cock crowed the second time, it says he turned and he was so close to Jesus, Jesus could hear what he was saying. And the Bible says he turned and Jesus turned when they were beat and looked at him. Jesus had been beaten and he turned and looked at him. The Bible says that Peter ran out of the place weeping. You're talking about failure. And I want you to notice, you're talking about somebody who says, I don't belong here. Can you imagine Peter after the resurrection? Here he is. Jesus has been dead 3 days. And I want you to notice, because God took his sin and nailed it to the cross and wiped it away. And I want you to notice what he says. This angel said, "Don't be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has risen. He's not here. See the place where they laid him. But go tell his disciples and what? Go tell his disciples and who? Tell the one that feels the least like he ought to be included. Tell him I want to meet with him." You might be that one this morning that feels the least one that ought to be here in church. You might be the one that feels the least qualified to even approach Jesus. And I want you to know this morning, Jesus signals you out specifically. Go tell the disciples. And he didn't have to say that. Angels don't make up their own messages. Somewhere in heaven, before that angel left, Jesus gave this command to him. "I want you to go tell my disciples." And here's what I want you to say. Say, "And Peter." And this morning, he's sending a personal word to you. Whatever you've done wrong, however filthy it is, however bad it is, it's been nailed to the cross, and he forgives you. Watch this.
Hey, did y'all hear? They captured Jesus. They did. He is in the courtyard right now. Let's go see. There he is now. I don't know. He looks really familiar.
Maybe he's one of the disciples.
I think he is.
One of Jesus' disciples, aren't you?
No, not me. No, I didn't know him. No.
I think he is too. Yeah. He looks way too familiar. I'm going to go see. Yeah. I saw you in the olive grove with Jesus.
No, not me.
Yeah, it was you. I thought y'all were close.
No, I told you, I don't even know the man.
That's him.
That's right. It is you. You were in the garden with this Jesus.
No, not me.
Oh, yes. No. It was you.
No, a curse on me if I'm lying. I tell you, I don't even know the man.
That back there, that was me. I was close to Jesus. I grew up in church. I could sing all the songs. I could tell you all the Bible stories. But when things in my life got tough, I turned my back on everything I believed in. See, growing up in church, I'd heard the story of Peter denying Jesus, and I thought, how could he do that? He had walked with Jesus. He was a witness to every miracle that Jesus performed, but somehow he still turned his back on him. But now I know how easy it is to do. See, I was close to Jesus. I heard all of his stories. I even witnessed miracles in my own life. And just like Peter, I let the circumstances get the best of me. But you know what my favorite part of the story is? That it was just the beginning for Peter. He turned back to Jesus and went on to change the world. And I knew denial didn't have to be my story, the end of my story either. See, if you've turned your back on Jesus, it doesn't have to be the end of your story. I walked away and denied Jesus, but I didn't stay there. This was part of my story, but it's behind me now. And just like Peter, I can't wait to see what God has for me next.
Oh, I set out on a narrow way many years ago, hoping I would find my way along the sacred road. But I got lost a time or two, did things I wish I didn't do. I can see how every sign pointed straight to you. Every long lost road led me to pain and loss. Because of my sin you died ruthlessly on a cross, calling me all this time into your loving arms. This much I know is true, that God bless the broken road and led me straight to you. About the years I spent just passing through, I'd like to have the time I lost and give it back to you. But you just smile and take my hand. Your grace is hard to understand. It's all part of a grander plan that is coming true. Every long lost road led me to pain and loss. Because of my sin you died ruthlessly on a cross, calling me all this time into your loving arms. This much I know is true, that God blessed my broken road, led me straight to you. Now I'm just rolling home into my Savior's arms. This much I know is true, that God knows your broken road, and still he died for you. Yes, God knows your broken road, and still he died for you.
Guys, stay up here, would you? Just stay up here. Come on, give him a go. Hey, keep the lights down a little low. I think that's enough. We had some other, but I think that's good. This morning, I want you just to close your eyes just for a second. Maybe that's you this morning. Maybe the whole thing, it's pounded your heart, and your heart's about to beat out of your chest, or the fear and the pain and all that you had, there is that flicker of hope that's coming in, and you think, possibly, could it be that it would be for me? And I'm gonna tell you, it is. I'll never forget the day I was in a service and my heart felt like I just didn't know what to do. I was going to explode, and I knew everything they said was true, but I didn't think I was worthy of receiving it. And I know just where you are right now. This is for you this morning. The Lord wants to speak to you. All that Jesus did, he did for you. Whoever has said anything over your life, they're not the highest authority in your life. There is one that sits far above all rule, dominion, power, and authority. There is one that sits with the veto power of the universe. And he loves you. He gave his son for you. Not for the good. He gave it for everybody. All whosoever will. That includes you. I want everybody to stand this morning. Would you do that? Hey, maybe you're confused. Maybe you're sitting there a little wondering what to do in life. Maybe you're like Ashley was in the woman caught in adultery. Maybe they've got stones and you feel like you're just about to go under. Maybe you're like Darren that was in the last part where you'd known the Lord at one point and now you backslid and you wonder whether God would ever take you back. He will. He took everything you ever did and nailed it to the cross. When he took it to the cross, you're included. Tell all the people there at Victory and put your name right there. I'll meet with you. I want to meet with you this morning. I want you to listen to this last song we've got and just let it speak to you. Listen, just close your eyes and listen to this.
Something in your eyes I see reminds me of what you used to be when I was still uncertain of the truth. Sleepless nights have turned to day. Long inside an endless space, counting on someone to see me through. If there's one thing that I know, you were never left alone, 'cause you can always call on Jesus' name. If there's one helps you find your way, make a change and listen to your heart. God will take away your pain if you choose to let it go. If there's one thing I know, how can I your heart, 'cause light can find you in the dark, and only he can make your blind eyes see. For if we speak of lost things found, of lives that have been turned around, tell me John knows better than me. If there's one Christ, where he gave his life to ease my suffering. If there's one thing that I know, you were never left alone, 'cause you can always call on Jesus' name. If there's one take away our pain if you choose to let it go. If there's one thing I know.
The last thing is this morning, you know, if one time there was a man on death row, and he had some very powerful friends, and they went to the president, and the president gave him a pardon, pardoned him. He was to be executed within a week, and the president of the United States pardoned him. But he had felt so guilty over what he did, he would not receive the pardon. And it became such a legal matter, it went to the Supreme Court to decide. The president's pardoned him. Can you still execute him? He doesn't want the pardon. And the Supreme Court ruled this verdict: unless he receives what was given, it is of no effect to him. And within the week, they executed him. Even though the president had pardoned him, it wasn't his until he received it. And that's why the Bible talks about, well, all that we talked about today, you have to receive it. When I opened that pamphlet up on American Airlines, I could have read it and said, I could be in that first class line. And I could have closed it up, believed it, said, I believe it, and just put it in and stayed right in the line I was in. But you ought to have seen me. I picked my suitcases up like I was king of the world. I marched, excuse me, went over, got right in line. And I got in line and I went through the first class because I received what I heard and what I read. And this morning, here's a chance. We love you. We're not after anything of yours. We're just after you. So this morning, here's what we're going to do. We just ask you to do this. I want you to do is, if you want me to pray with you and let the Lord receive you. You want to receive, get out of the line you're in, living just the best you can every day, just like a basic life. If you want to change your life today, I'm going to ask you to do this real quickly. I want you to step out and come down here and let me pray with you. I know it's kind of a big deal, a lot of stuff, but we all love you. We all been there. Ashley and Darren, they're like, all their stories are our stories. We all have been there. What we want to do is we want to pray with you. We want you to step out of the aisle for you. Come on, brother. Come on some more. See, you come this morning and you want God to do that in your life. Would you just step out? Maybe you brought somebody. Ask him right now if they'd like to go down. You'll come down with them. That'll help them a little bit. Turn to somebody you may have brought this morning. Say if you want to do it. Come on, anybody else? Come on, others. Come on, some more. God just wants to do something in your life this morning to change your life. Come on, can y'all come down? Some of y'all come down and pray with us. Come on. We're going to wait a few minutes because I know the Lord has brought you here for a purpose. God wants to change your life. Come on, altar workers, come down and pray with us. Come on, some of you that want to come, God wants to do something in your life because he loves you so much that he wants to change your life. Come on, let's sing that again. Sing that again, one thing while they're coming. Come on, anyway, sing that again. Everybody sing it with them as they're coming. Come on, one thing. And if there's one thing, come on, sing it. Go sing it again. Come on. Jesus. Come on, Jesus.
Something in your eyes I see reminds me of what
come on. Come on with these that have already come. Come on down. Come on. Let the Lord be. Today is your day. Come on. Don't be hesitant. Don't be afraid. We've all been there. Come on. We did all this. God did all of this just for you. Come on. Come on.
Counting on someone to see me through.
Come on, if there's one thing, come on.
If there's one thing I know, you were never left alone, 'cause you can always call.
Come on, we need some more altar workers. Come on, some more. Come on, some of my leaders, come on and help us.
If there's one thing that I know, it's Jesus helps you find your way. Change and listen to your heart. God will take away our pain if you choose to let it go. If there's one thing I know, how can I convince your heart?
Come on, don't. It's not too late. Come on, it's not too late. Come on down. Come on, don't hesitate anymore. Come on down. Come on with this. Come on down. Come on. Come and receive.
When life should have been turned around, tell me who knows better, child.
Come on, lift your voice and sing. If there's one thing,
if there's one.
We're going to pray together. The altar workers have been praying, but I want us all to pray together right now, just for a minute. I want everybody to stay here just for a second. I want us all to pray together for these. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the power of grace to erase everything that's ever been tarnished our lives. And this morning we believe that your love can go beyond anything we've ever known. It can go beyond counseling. It can go beyond drugs. It can go beyond, and it can ease the conscience. What can give us sleep at night beyond all the pills we've tried and the alcohol and all that we've done. Lord, your forgiveness can cleanse. And when you say it, you're the final authority. You sit on high above, far above all rule, power, dominion, and authority. You rule, Lord. And when you say, I am clean, I am clean. And when you say, I am forgiven, I am forgiven, no matter what anyone says. And this morning we pray for those that have come to this altar, Lord, to get their sins washed away. Just like you did us, Lord, we pray right now in the name of Jesus. And I want everybody to pray this with me. Say, dear Lord, I confess this morning I'm wrong. I'm a sinner, Lord. I've done wrong things. But what I heard this morning has put hope in my heart, and I want it. Come into my life. Wash me. Make me white again. Make me clean, Lord. I believe you died for me, and I believe you took all my sins and nailed them to your cross. You tore up the record of all the sins I'd done, and by your blood, I am clean. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for letting me go to heaven today. I give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Everybody say amen today, would you? Give the Lord a good clap offering. Would you do that? Hey, close your eyes one more time. In a couple weeks, the Lord impressed my heart to do the Titanic again. Remember the Titanic? Message I've done here a couple times, but they've just revived it. You know, the movie just came out this weekend. It's a big deal. I think it's some anniversary of it. And the Lord told me to do it again. How many would like to see our altars full again in a couple weeks? And we're going to believe the Lord in a couple weeks. I'm going to do the Titanic again. And we're going to, I'll announce it when it is, probably 2 or 3 weeks we'll do it. Give us time to get it all ready. And we're going to do it. We're going to believe God for a great harvest of souls again. And Father, so this morning we just thank you for every soul that has come, every soul that has laid, that has desired you for what you want to do in their life. And we cannot do anything, but you can do it all. And we believe in your power. We believe in a taste of heaven. Let each one of them taste heaven this morning. Let them taste a guarantee, a down payment of the Holy Spirit in their life. Thank you, Lord, for doing the miracle of the rebirth. Thank you for flipping things around, Lord. They were like Jesus, dead in a tomb. But you flipped things around, and now the downward trend is reversed, and they're heading toward heights they've never even experienced. You know, let me tell you one last thing before you go. The Bible says this. The Bible says, and I won't read it this morning, but I had this scripture at the end up this morning. The Bible says, we are seated together with him in heavenly places. Did you catch that? He is seated far above all rule, dominion, power, and authority. And then the Bible says, we are seated with him far above all power, rule, dominion, authority. That means you need to be understanding that you, not mean that you don't have troubles. It means that you're just not under the load. You might be, listen, he wants you walking on water, not down underneath the water. You might have a storm, but you're walking on water. Your perspective now changes to where now you're not looking at any earthly thing having the complete dominion over your life. Any authority in your life, you respect them and you walk, but you know this, they're not the final word. That might be a word, but it's not the final word. It may be a thought, but it's not the final thought. It may be a verdict, but it's not the final verdict. It may be a word, but it may be a bad word, but it's not the final word. Come on. It may be about you, your loved ones, wherever it may be. But you know this, there's one who sits far above all rule, dominion, power, and authority of the universe. Because he was raised from the dead, and he ever liveth, and he sits on high, far above. Come on, give him a good clap off for this morning. Hallelujah. Give a good shout this morning, would you? Turn around, give somebody a high five. God bless you. We'll see you Wednesday night for our studies. God bless you.